Now, dear friends, let's ask the Lord to help us for the preaching and listening to the preaching of God's word. Let's pray. Our blessed Lord Jesus, as now we've heard you say, he who humbles himself shall be exalted, and he who exalts himself shall be humbled. So as we are going to listen to you teaching us to pray, may we come to hear you speaking in all humility. May we be like little children sitting at Aaron's feet, eager to learn whatever father and mother may say to him. So Lord, be with us. Speak to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now friends, let's turn back to Luke chapter 11. Now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And John also taught his disciples, so he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." For 3 years, the disciples were traveling with the Lord Jesus. They ate together. They slept under one roof. They could observe how Jesus slept. They could see him at work, in healing the sick. They observed him at close length. And the disciples were so deeply impressed with our Lord Jesus' prayer life. On one occasion, Jesus was praying. When he stopped, one of the disciples came to him and said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." We would like to pray like you pray, in all sincerity. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. I remember on some occasions I heard godly men pray, and I was so moved. And I was saying to myself, this is prayer. I want to pray like that. This is real prayer. My dear friend, it is the instinct of every child of God to pray. A sure sign, an infallible sign of a child of God is that that person wants to pray. But then, it's also the desire of the child of God to learn how to pray. I wonder, friend, is this not your desire this morning? Say to yourself, I really want to pray as I ought. On one occasion, I think it was the Scottish reformer Robert Bruce, I might be names confused, and he was in a prayer meeting with fellow ministers, and his fellow ministers were praying, and then he stopped them in the middle. He told them, "This is not how you pray." And then he led the people, the minister, to pray, and was banging on his desk, praying down the Holy Spirit, so to say. Well, we want to pray better. But what is prayer? Even as we sung just now in that hymn, prayer is the soul's sincere desire. Whatever a prayer is, it has to be sincere. In that same hymn, prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. What is prayer? Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Friends, don't think of, well, if I'm to pray, I must learn how to say nice things. It's not required that we can say nice words. No. No, prayer is the simplest form of speech. I remember my mother told me, of course years ago, after coming back from a prayer meeting in church, she said, "Well, there is that lady in our church. Her husband is not faithful to her and has another woman. In the prayer meeting, she would cry aloud and cursing with bitterness against that woman." What do you think of that? Well, whatever we say in criticism of that woman's prayer, maybe the language isn't very nice, but at least it's heartfelt and sincere. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. The Christian's native air is watchword at the gate of death. He enters heaven with prayer. Is it not so? Prayer is the breath of the Christian. When Hudson Taylor was a young missionary in China, he was traveling with William Burns, the senior Scottish minister, well-known evangelist from Scotland, and Hudson Taylor reported to his family in his letter, "This man of God is amazing. He breathed prayer. He ate and chewed over God's word." And friends, is it not true that prayer is the watchword at the gates of death for a believer? What would you do, my dear friends? Suppose if you were alert at the moment of death, would you not be praying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit"? Some of us have experience of being put down, go under for medical procedures. Was it not true that the last word before you were made unconscious is that you commit yourself to the Lord? Is it not true? And yet prayer is a difficult thing, isn't it? It's not easy. And beginning with this morning, I'm going to consider with you the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer that we all know well, that we all recite at the beginning of our service. And we are going to consider afresh the Lord's Prayer. In a sense, there's nothing new or fresh, but it's good to be reminded of these pattern for prayer. The whole Bible teaches us how to pray. I wonder, have you not noticed before that in the Bible there are many recorded prayers? From its beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, the whole Word of God teaches how to pray. But the Bible is a big book, over 1,000 pages long. It's the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that our Lord Jesus taught the disciples, that is our supreme direction for prayer. You remember the Lord's Prayer? You got an introduction, calling upon God as our Father, and then he got six petitions. He asked six things, and he ends with an ascription of praise to God. And this morning, we are going to look at the calling upon God as our Father. But before we do that, let us be reminded, what is the Lord's Prayer for? Sometimes people get confused. They think the Lord's Prayer is a formula for people to recite. We say the Lord's Prayer. Well, let us notice here that when the Lord Jesus gave the disciples this prayer, it's not meant for mere recitation. You notice there are two forms of the Lord's Prayer in the Gospels. We have the form of Matthew that we are accustomed to, and then we have the form in Luke. And in these two forms of the Lord's Prayer, there are different wordings. Not a lot of difference, but quite a number of differences. If the Lord's Prayer is just for us to recite, then the Lord will make sure that every time he talks to people, his prayer will be exact wordings, right? When you recite something, you have to make sure that every word is word perfect. But you notice in Matthew's account, is the differences to Luke's account and vice versa. Now, remember in Matthew chapter 6, our Lord teaches his disciples about prayer. And he says to them, beware that when you pray, there's not mere repetitions. What he said, vain repetition. That is the great temptation for us to go wrong in our prayer. The danger of a mere formalistic prayer. My dear friends, whatever you do, don't think that by reciting the Lord's Prayer, you have ticked off the box, you say your prayer, and you're done. No. Make sure that your prayer is not just mere mouthing of words. It's better off to pray like that lady I mentioned. When her husband was being unfaithful to her, being enticed by another woman, that she voiced out her bitterness to God and asking God to intervene and to judge. That is prayer. Not merely reciting some formulas. You know, in some churches or Christian traditions, they ask their people to recite the Lord's Prayer so many times. You just say the Lord's Prayer and count many times you say it, and then you earn some merit, so to say. Maybe recite the Lord's Prayer in Latin or whatever. No, that is not prayer. You know, there are some religious people, they may not even be Christian religions, they will be chanting words to work up some wonderful feelings in the Hebrew language, the Arabic language, with their gutturals. When you chant something, you can get into an emotional high And you get very uplifted in the sense. You feel a euphoria. Now, that is self-intoxication. That is not prayer. Christian prayer is not worked up to some sort of emotional highs. Christian prayer is calling God Father and pouring our hearts to Him as our God and our Father. If you don't remember anything that is said this morning, at least remember prayer is calling God Abba, Father. I know some of you here this morning, you may not have good fathers. Maybe the mere mentioning of the word Father brings up tears in your eyes. We don't want to think back to that. But many people have good earthly fathers. Not perfect, but many people do know. Well, if I was in trouble, I only need to go to Father and run to Him and say, Father, and I'll be protected and provided. If you have that sort of Father, thank you to God. If you don't have that sort of Father, may God be your Father. And here we have, what is the Lord's Prayer for? The Lord's Prayer is the Lord's pattern for our prayer. He's giving us an example of prayer, a template for prayer, a standard for us to follow, but not for mere recitation. What we are to do is that we should be so familiar with the Lord's Prayer, and that when we pray, using our own words, but consciously checking our own prayer, making sure that we follow this pattern, calling God as our Father, putting His name and kingdom first, trusting in Him for our physical needs and provision, asking for His forgiveness, sincerely asking the Father to protect us from the attacks of the evil one, and giving all glory and honor to God. That is what the Lord's Prayer is for. It's the Lord's pattern for our prayer. The Lord's direction for our prayer. Now we come to the calling upon God's name as Father. How do we come to call God our Father? You know, friends, if you have Muslim friends and you invite them to your home for dinner, and then you say, well, we're a Christian family. Before every meal, we pray, and then you pray, our Father who is in heaven. Your Muslim friend will be offended. If he or she is honest enough, he will say to you, how can you call God Father? How can you do that? God is high and lifted up. You can't call Him Father. He's not so familiar. You know why can we call God our Father and we should call God our Father? Ultimately, it's because God is a triune God. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The ultimate reality in this universe is the Trinity. The Trinity is first and foremost. Before anything and everything, the ultimate truth, the ultimate reality is that there is one God, and His Father, and He has a Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only begotten Son of God. And because God the Father is the Father of Christ, through Christ we can call God Father. And then when we study and think over the four Gospels, have you not noticed before that the familiar name for God to our Lord Jesus Christ is that name, Father. You wait for the gospel carefully. There is this deep, deep consciousness in the heart of our Lord Jesus that God is his Father. And he called God my Father, Holy Father, Righteous Father. There is deep within the Lord Jesus, in his heart, a deep sense of fellowship with the Father, that he has been sent by the Father, and he joyfully obeying the Father, and is totally submissive to his Father. And our Lord Jesus wants his disciples to see God as their Father. In Matthew chapter 6, for example, how many times the Lord Jesus tells the disciples, your Father who is in heaven, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Oh, sometimes when we are in trouble, perhaps like the woman I mentioned, she was taken advantage of. Her husband betrayed her. And we have to remember that our Father knows all. Our Father sees all, and he will reward everyone justly, fairly. But then, while our Lord Jesus has this deep sense of fellowship with the Father, as Father, and he wants his disciples to regard God as their Father, there's never been a single instant that the Lord Jesus would be saying to his disciples, God is our Father. Just like that. Remember, after Jesus' resurrection, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was clinging to him, but Jesus told Mary, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren or my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Listen carefully. Jesus did not say to her, I'm going back to our Father. He calls his disciples my brothers. He told Mary, I'm going back, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The distinction between the sonship of Christ and the sonship of believers. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And believers in Christ are the adopted children of God. There's a distinction. And Jesus never sit down with the disciple and say, well, let's pray. Let's recite the Lord's Prayer. No. Our Lord Jesus never ever prayed the Lord's Prayer. You realize? He never prayed to God, forgive me my sins. The Lord Jesus had no consciousness of sins. Not once, not one single sin. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer that Jesus has never prayed. And we have to say this clearly, the title, the Lord's Prayer, is actually a wrong name. It's a misnomer. It should be called, what? The Disciples' Prayer. The Family's Prayer. The proper Lord's Prayer is in John 17. That is the Lord's Prayer. He prays to his Father. We have the Lord's Prayer. But what we call the Lord's Prayer is the Lord's pattern of prayer for his disciples. But sometimes, wrong name stick around, isn't it? When we say the Lord's Prayer, we know what we're talking about. And if I'm going to say, well, we're going to pray the Disciples' Prayer, you say, what is that? The Family's Prayer, what is that? So it's a wrong name. It is not the name in the Bible. It means it's the prayer that the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. We press on. So, the ultimate reason why we can call God our Father who is in heaven is because there is indeed God the Father of the Son. But then, the Bible also tells us that God is the Father of creation. God made us all, and especially made humans in His own image. Paul says, before the council in Athens, in God we live and move and have our being, for we are also His offspring. That is, in this sense, that God is our Father, He is our Creator. We are from God. He made us. But notice here, even though all humanity move and live in God and because of God, yet all humanity naturally do not acknowledge God as their God. They don't love Him, they don't obey Him, they don't honor Him. Our relationship with God is a broken relationship. People naturally worship idols. Our instinct is to worship idols. That's why idolatry has been around ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. And that's why, even though in the West, here, most people do not worship our statues, but people worship what? They're their idols. Money. Oh, how many people worship money? Sex. We live in a saturated age. People worship sex. Younger one perhaps. Phones. How much we depend on our phones. It's not just younger one, isn't it? Older one as well. Can you imagine living a single day without your phone? What if your phone is stolen? Games. Children for some parents. We naturally worship idols. We don't worship the true and living God. And we naturally do not like the worship of God. People have an instinct to turn away from the worship of the true and living God. You bring them to the worship of the idols, many are interested. But you invite them to the worship of the true and living God, they will call you. Well, our broken relationship with God is so complete that the Bible says, by nature we are children of wrath. And our Lord Jesus told the Jews, you are children of the devil. And the Jews were greatly offended. How can you call us, the people of God, children of the devil? And Jesus said, well, that is what you are. You lie. You want to kill me, just as the devil has been doing from the beginning. And friends, you know, it's only through faith in Christ that we become adopted children of the living God. As many as receive Christ, to them the Lord gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in Jesus' name. When you and I come to realize not just our sins, but our sinfulness, our sinful nature, and that we can't save ourselves, and we put all our hope and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's not just that our sins are forgiven, but we are receiving the God's family. And God is our Father. We are His adopted children. And we instinctively call God Abba, Father. So for the remaining few moments, I would like to remind you of our attitudes in prayer. What sort of attitude we should have in prayer? First of all, our attitude in prayer should be consciously Trinitarian. Consider to whom we pray. Just stop and think. When we pray, to whom are we praying? It's to God, the Father. There are some Christians who only pray to Jesus. And that is very wrong. That is as if those Christians do not believe in the Trinity. No, friends. We are Trinitarian Christians. Well, there's no Christian other than Trinitarian Christians, I must say. When we pray, we are praying to God as our Father. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, we are told through Christ, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Remember, the Bible verse is so vital and important. Ephesians 2:18. In prayer, we have access through Christ by the Spirit to the Father. In prayer, we call God our Father. Our object of prayer is God the Father. You may be in pain. You may be depressed. You may be so down and out that you feel absolutely down. But when you, in your heart, lift up your voice to God and call God Father, that is prayer. So to whom we pray? To God the Father as our Father. And through whom we pray? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator, the God-man. And that's why we end our prayer in Jesus' name. Again, it's not a mere formula. But then, you'll be very strange that if in our prayers, we regularly do not pray in Jesus' name. I remember years ago, a certain man would be praying for me or with me, but he never ever prayed in the name of Jesus. You know the reason? He doesn't believe in Jesus as the mediator and savior. He does not. And that's the reason. He prayed to God, but he's not praying in Jesus' name because he does not believe that he needs a mediator, that he needs a savior. And that's why some of you can correct me. I'm not sure whether in our parliament now, do they still open parliament in prayer? They do, isn't it? They do, I'm assured, by one of our members here. And you notice, always in the Lord's Prayer, they recite the Lord's Prayer in our wordings. Now, let me say this to you. People can tolerate that in parliament. But if anyone should say and stand up and say, well, let us pray, and then pray in Jesus' name, that will cause great offense. Because many people say, we believe in God, we don't believe in Jesus to be the mediator, and if you are going to pray in Jesus' name, it will offend us. You can't do that. You can't do that. You go and observe the public prayer in Western countries, and you will notice a pattern of missing out the name Jesus. By the way, it was not like this before. is not so. So through whom we pray? In Jesus' name. He's our mediator. He's our Savior. And by whom we pray? By whom we pray? It's by the Holy Spirit. Jude asked Christian people to pray in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? It means the Holy Spirit is helping us to pray, moving us to pray. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. Now there's something at once mysterious, but real and powerful. It is this. My dear friends, when we come to faith in Jesus and rest our souls in Christ, God sent the Spirit of Jesus living in us. The Holy Spirit is living in the hearts of believers, and that Holy Spirit will move us instinctively to cry to God as our Father. That's the believer's instinct. And friends, when we do not grieve the Spirit, when we are walking in step with the Spirit will lead and guide us how we should pray. You know, sometimes people may ask me, Pastor, how should I pray in that situation? Well, I may be able to give you some advice, but you know ultimately, how should we pray in that particular situation? You know, we are put in a certain situation. Usually, it's not a good situation when people ask that, right? Usually, it's a difficult situation, a trying situation, a painful situation. How should we pray? You know the answer, the real answer is that, well, you soak yourself up in Holy Scriptures. You honor the Lord God in obedience, in the worship of His name. You walk serving the Lord, conscientious obedience. And the Holy Spirit will, through the Scriptures, move and teach us what we should pray for in that particular situation. And it is existential. It's real. It's led by the Spirit. Just now it came to my mind when Hudson Taylor formed the China Inner Mission. In those days was Clippers. Many months they traveled from England. And when they were about to arrive in China, in Shanghai, there was a tremendous storm. And it looked like they were going to have shipwreck, and all of them were going to die. And the ship captain approached him and asked him, Mr. Taylor, you told us through these few months God has called you and your team to go to inland China to preach the gospel to the Chinese. But now, with this, they call it typhoon, in a Chinese sort of anguish, we're all going to die. What do you say about God's call to you to do this work? And that's when they stop and they consider. And they thought back, well, you're sure that the Lord has put in his heart to lead his team of young people, some of them women, single women, to inland China. And he said, well, I'm sure that God has led me and my team to do this work. If we are all going to die, well, we can't do this work. Well, so it must be. that will survive. And they amazingly survive. Well, it does not mean that every missionary will survive the sea journey. Some did not. But what's the difference? Well, the Holy Spirit is working, guiding his people, enabling them to pray accordingly. Just very quickly, well, we should be consciously Trinitarian in our prayer. And then when we come to God as our Father, there should be an holy awe and reverence. Dear friends, our Father is in heaven. We should come to him in awe and reverence. Give your best time to prayer. Don't regularly fall asleep in your prayer. You're not honoring God if regularly in your prayer you fall asleep. You're dishonoring God. You're not giving him the best of your time. And when we come to God and call him as our Father, remember he's our Father. We are to trust in him, to obey him. And also we have to have that comfort, to know that we have access to God and we can call him our Father. We can trust our all to him. Well, this morning is only a start, but may the Lord teach us to pray. Let's pray. Oh Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to call you Father. Our Father who is in heaven. We pray that you may give us the spirit of prayer. We pray that we may learn to put all our hope and trust in you as our Father. And not be fearful. Give us, O God, day by day, blessed time of prayer. For Jesus' sake.